For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, March the 27th, 1993. Spring Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This tape is a prayer clause, some prophecies, and a teaching by Rod Johnson.
To those of you who've been here before, you understand what I hold in my hand, a hand full of prayer clause that Mary here has cut for us and Tom has stamped, and they've been prayed over twice already. But we're going, I've anointed them all with oil here now, and we're going to pray over them. And then they're going to go down this side over here to the end. And then you give them to Tommy back there and Kathy, and then they'll pray over them, and they'll come back up this side. We'll put them on top of the tape recorder, and you can come and take two or three of them, whatever you feel you need, that you have somebody in particular that you're going to use them for. And we've had wonderful, wonderful answers to many, many prayers because of these little prayer calls that have gone all over the world from this place. We pray over them just as we're going to this morning, and we pray over them again. Then at the prayer meeting, people write in and ask for them. We'll let you sit down for a minute. And then we send them out. Father, I lift these little prayer cloths up in my hand. Just as Paul prayed over the aprons and things that were brought to him, we impart the power of the living God into these in the name of Jesus to bring healing and deliverance and restoration by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is something my wife can tell you I don't do. I don't really pat people on the back. When I had people working for me, their paycheck was the pat on the back. And if I really wanted to give them a good pat on the back, I let them have overtime. My good workers always got overtime. But I want to do a little exhortation, I guess, and a little information. How many of you enjoy those beds upstairs or down in the rooms and whatnot? You enjoy them? They're clean and nice. Rooms are clean and nice. And isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful outside? And look at this rug. I came here about eight years ago, and the rug looks as nice today as it did when I came. But you know what? Some people chew gum, and they drop it on this rug, and it's the hardest thing in the world to get out of this rug. So please, leave your gum outside, and don't throw it on the sidewalk or outside. Roll it up in a paper and put it away, please. And don't bring drinks in here, because they get the big black spot if you drop any of it on this rug. And we appreciate that. Now, what I want to talk about, all of this takes work. Brother Glenn, from daylight, and a lot of times he turns the light on that cotton picket tractor and works out there after dark, especially when they let the lake down. He gets all that gravel out of the lake and cleans out that little stream out there, makes it pretty, makes the outside pretty, and he's busy all the time. And Sister Irma, you know, these meals have to be planned. All these books have to be planned and put out. And Brother Glenn and Sister Irma won't put a book out there until they read it. So that takes lots of time doing that. And I just kind of wanted to pat them on the back for these things. And here's another thing. If you're not getting the magazine, you can get it. But all of you that get that magazine, Sister Irma has to transcribe and off of that tape everything that goes on that goes into that magazine. They have to prepare that magazine. She'll start the day after here preparing the magazine to get it out. And that magazine has to have all those names and addresses put on them. Those names and addresses are changed all the time. That has to be done. Somebody has to sit at that computer trying to change your addresses. And every one of you that hasn't wrote in and said, I moved, you know, that magazine costs them twice to mail it. Because they bring it back and they have to pay postage on it again. So, 29 cents to bring it back. And so, take care of that. And you know, we started folding those magazines now. And so that takes more time. What I'm getting at, I don't know just exactly how to say this, but you know, most of us work a job. If we work a job, we work from 8 to 5. That's usually the a day. There are dozens of calls coming into this place every day on that cotton-picking telephone. Now, Sister Irma, she's just one person, and she tries to get to bed about 9 o'clock at night. But do you know, some people call all hours of the night, and look at the clock deal when you need to call. If it can, if I was Sister Irma, I'd tell you like the doctor. The doctor says, take 2 aspirins and come to the office tomorrow. But she doesn't. Brother Glenn doesn't. They take these calls. And I went to the hospital here a while back. I had one of those sugar shocks. I ran out of glucose. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But you know, Brother Glenn was up there at the hospital almost the time I got there, the time they got me to the hospital. And he's always going for others. Now, please, look at the clock when you have to call. And see if you can't get your call in here between 8 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. And you see, we got a fairly decent crowd here now. But I've been here 8 years, and half of the crowd at every meeting, and they have 6 meetings a year, about half of the crowd are first-timers. So you can figure how many people have passed through here and how many people call and depend on them. So please, help them. And while you're here, clean up after yourself. See that things are clean and straight. And don't rush everything. Don't try to rush. Just be like the Mexican, mañana. But just take it easy. And the Lord will bless you. And I want to thank the Lord for another thing. Those claws that are going around, those little things. My wife sits and cuts those out. She prays over every time she cuts one of them out. She prays over it. Then she hands them to me to stamp that stuff on the front of them. And I pray on them. I pray a little different, I think, than she does. I said, Lord, if they ain't not right, just convict them so badly that they'll get right. And I do that. But Mary, in September, Mary carried some of those claws home, and she pinned them inside my pillow. I've had chronic bronchitis for years, and I've disturbed the meetings here for years, coughing. You know, I haven't had a coughing spell. I've coughed a few times, but I haven't had a coughing spell since September. And I want to thank the Lord for that. They've been wanting to operate on my knees. They tell me I don't have any cartilage in either knee. They've been wanting to operate on those for years. And I said, when I got to where I can't walk, we'll see about it. But my knees have gotten better. I can get up and down with my knees. And that hip, they say that if I'm not careful, it's liable to freeze up on me. If it freezes up, it'll freeze up for the Lord, because I'm still trusting the Lord, and I'm going to walk without this thing one of these days. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And remember the Millards and the people that work here. Just remember that. Pray for them. God bless you.
Well, you get to know that old hard-nosed Tom Dye. Find out there's a little bit of a different side to him than a lot of people ever knew. But you know, we appreciate the Schultzes and Kathy and Maury and Mac and Ron and his wife and that
help us here, and Randy that's been laying cement out here on these rocks, finishing the wall up that we got half done. We got this done, but there's just much more down coming in down here, and Randy's been working on it, blessing, and now the Bowers have come and been here all this week and helping us, and they just might stay around for who knows how long, and we appreciate that, and Ray, she comes over and plays the organ and plays the piano for us on Sunday, and we appreciate all that, because you see, without that, we couldn't work here, because we couldn't do it. And then Jean Post, she's been around here so long that she just like one of the chairs. She just.
Brother Glenn and my wife are a lot alike when it comes to money. I don't know how they do it, but they stretch that money further than anybody I ever saw. And that's why all this pretty stuff is outside there like it is. Because Brother Glenn can stretch that money.
Well, the Lord says that we're to be wise, and so. I look, and everybody else around here, I try to teach them all to look, find it where you can get the best price for it. And so that's what we do, and the Lord's been good to us and helped us to find favor with the places here in town that we buy from. And when the girls order books, they try to watch and get them when they're on the sale to get the best discount on them. Because all of that helps. Every penny we make over there is a profit in here. And a penny here and a penny there pretty soon is many dollars. And many dollars buys the cement down there or the sand for the wall and helps pay for other things. So anyway, well, praise you, Jesus. You're going to have to tear half your notes in two. Start in the middle and end up at the end. I want to say another thing. This morning, Irma called my attention to an item in the newspaper that last Tuesday, our new Attorney General issued an order to all the Attorney General, all the U.S. attorneys in the United States and in the provinces or territories of the United States, to submit their resignation at once. That has never been done before. In the past, the positions have only been filled as somebody retired or they resigned or they died. You realize what is happening? I was looking for a scripture and Tommy found it for me. I'm going to read it. You know what that does to homosexuality, lesbianism, abortion, control of our children. That's all the things that this woman stands for, who is our Attorney General. Let's see, her name is Janet Reno from Florida. And she believes in the state controlling the children, especially children and families that are being, abused by being made to go to church and Sunday school and listen to the Bible. That is child abuse, according to them. But anyway, here in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and change the times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until time and times and the dividing of time." I wonder if we've arrived there. Because you see, this gives them the authority to interpret or do as they please with the laws of the land by taking out all the U.S. attorneys and replacing them in all the nation. That gives them control over the laws of the land. And that's an awesome thing that has taken place this week. I thought it was an awesome thing when he signed that bill about using fetal abortion material the second day he was in office. When he did that, he immediately put this nation under the curse of God, because no king had ever done a thing like that before in this land. But now the king signed it, so it became the law of the land, so the nation came under the curse of it. We were under the curse of it before, but as individuals and not as the king authorizing it. But now it's been authorized by the king, so God's curse is in the land. And now with this here, I wonder what we will see 3-4 years from now as this progresses to whatever extent it's going to be. But I believe that we've entered in or entering into the times of sorrows. I believe that the 7.5 years mentioned in the Bible is just a phraseology more than an actuality. Because I take my pattern from Noah and from Jesus. See, Noah was 100 years in the land preparing the ark. They had it. They knew it for 100 years. Jesus was in the land for 30 years. They didn't know who he was, but he was here. 30 years he was here before they realized. I wonder how far we are in the age between grace and the kingdom. I wonder how far we have progressed into that period of time. I believe that we have entered into it sometime 4, 5, maybe even 10 years ago. We entered into it. But I believe that we are in that period of transgression now between grace and the kingdom age. And it isn't something that, as we have been taught by tradition, that it's going to take place just like that. No, it's something that we will be phased into, and many will be taken unaware because they will not realize that it has happened. And we are well in my opinion, the phasing in of that area of the Antichrist. And as we see these things happen, what does it say? What does the Word, what does Jesus say? Rejoice. Rejoice. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now that's a paradox, to see all these things that breaks our hearts. And then in the same time, to look up and rejoice, because our redemption draweth nigh. So, we can be concerned, and we pray. And we haven't prayed yet today for our nation. And we try without fail to do that here every day. So we're going to do that now. Stand and let's pray for our nation. Father, our hearts are heavy as the things we see taking place around us that are contrary to your word and contrary to that which is our very life and existence in the Lord Jesus. But Father, we come, and your word says, to remember first of all those that are in authority, that we might live a quiet and a peaceable life. And then, Father, you say that if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and call on the name of the Lord and repent of their sins, that you'll hear from heaven and will heal our land, and you'll hear the prayers that are made in this place. So, Father, we come this morning to lift our voices and to bring in remembrance our nation and the abominations that's in the land, the rebellion that's in the land against the things and the word of the living God. We lift up the curse and the sin of innocent blood, Father, the abortion. We lift up the curse of homosexuality and lesbianism. We lift up the curse of divorce and pleasure, Father, that's rampant in the land. We lift up, Father, the sins and ask for the Spirit of the living God to send the convicting power of the Holy Ghost across this nation to bring conviction in the land. Then, Father, we lift up our president. We lift up the family of our president. We lift up the vice president and his family. We lift up the cabinet, Lord. We lift up the Supreme Court, the judges of the land. Father, we ask that there be righteousness. Somehow, some way, Lord, you'll cause them to call on the name of the Lord. Father, we also know that there must be these things that are written in your word must come to pass. There must be those, Father, that stand and are controlled by Satan that bring these things to pass. Father, we come and stand against the powers of the Antichrist spirit that's in the land, and I bind and break the assignment of it over your people. Father, I stand in the gap between the porch and the altar for the household of faith this morning. We come and stand, Father, for the household of faith. I bind the power of Antichrist and rebellion against the Spirit of God, and I loose the Shekinah glory of the Holy Ghost and the power of conviction of the Holy Ghost to sweep across this nation to bring a mighty outpouring of the power of the living God in this nation. Father, I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for the convicting spirit of the living God to bring conviction, Father, in the household of faith and raise up a people, Father, that will call on the name of the Lord and repent of their own sins and be intercessors
to fill, to make up the gap, Father, and stand in the hedge for the household of faith and for the abominations that's in the land. And I thank you, Father, for giving us that spirit of conviction, Father, and a spirit of intercession for your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none, saith the Lord. But I say in this hour that I have a people arising that I shall trust and count upon. For yea, I put my spirit within them, and I put my burden within them. So rest assured and know that God has heard thy cry, and that thou shalt see an answer, that you'll hear from heaven in this hour, and the Lord shall truly raise up a strong people that shall truly intercede and pray, and they shall be marked on their foreheads, for they shall be my sons. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. Where in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go, I went to prepare a place for you, and I've gone, I will come again and receive you to myself, and know that I am yours, and you are mine, and I am doing a work in the earth. So look not at the circumstances, but look to me, and I shall change your hearts. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Some more. Kirandolo brosi karabrasi karabroso
korabrisi andele brasita brakora brasitaya. Hallelujah. For my cloud and my glory is upon thee in this hour. And I do rest within a people, for you are my resting place, saith the Lord. And that is the Zion people. And I raise the Zion people up in this hour. I raise up my deliverers, and I do bring forth my arm and my strength in the earth. So yea, I say unto thee that I am with thee this day, that I overshadow thee with my glory and with my power. Even as this camp meeting started with the glory and with the fire and with the cloud, it shall end with the same, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. See, I guess, Kathy, did you figure this out, Kathy? That 3.5 years, time, times, and dividing of times puts us to the convention for the next presidential election. Yes, that puts us at the convention for the next presidential election. Jesus, Jesus. There is a woman who's going to be operated on tomorrow for a tumor of the brain, and we need to, what's her name? Mildred. Father, I lift Mildred up before you. Father, I rebuke and curse that foul spirit in the name of Jesus. Whatever rights it has to her, I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash her. Father, I ask that thing shrink and disappear in the name of the Lord. Father, I curse it in Jesus' name. I speak restoration unto her in the name of the Lord Jesus, that the spirit of the living God shall flow through her, and she shall be a testimony of the power of the living God in Jesus' name. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you. Thank you. We heard a testimony just 3 weeks ago today. 3 weeks ago yesterday it happened. Down in Mexico. One of the men who's a leader of the churches that Brother Bill Smith down in Fort Worth has down there. Name was Pepe. And they found a tumor on his brain and gave him a CAT scan and found it. And they took him in 3 weeks ago yesterday to prepare him to operate on him on Monday. And so they rechecked him Friday afternoon, put him back through the CAT scan again to find exactly where they were going to operate on him. And when they did, there was nothing there. They had the pictures before, and they had the pictures now. And what was it? What was it they said? Oh, yeah. They said we've lost it. We've got to find it. We've lost it. We know it's there, but we lost it. And they couldn't hardly convince them that Jesus had done it. But that was a cute phrase. We've lost it, and we've got to find it because we know it's there. But and he went home. They kept him another day to watch over him, but he went he went home and the Lord completely restored him. Well, you're going to have to cut your notes and forts. Well, I'll finally sit down for good for a while. And but the Lord has been doing wonderful things this morning. Wonderful things. And we'll let Brother Rod Johnson come here for a little while. Not as long as I thought, but a little while. And that's hard on him for a little while. But anyway, he can do it. But Rod, we thank you for the blessing of the Lord that you bring with you as you come and minister to us this morning.
And as we gather to pray, we ask the Lord to take authority over the service and to let happen what would. And we are seeing that. Now, when I was a young preacher, above 14 years ago, by the way, that's Paul's way of revealing your age. You just say, well, it was above 14 years ago. It's scriptural. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. I knew a man above 14 years ago. Isn't that right? Then it would not have been easy to sit when you got all of this in you. But I guess time mellows you. And and Brother Bill is my foremost authority on time mellowing you. So, hallelujah. Well, I'm going to share just a little bit of the word this morning because I know that he is doing what his intentions were. And we do have several teachings of deliverance that we're anxious to share with you. And whenever the Lord opens the door, it will happen. All right? I want to just touch, not teach, on one particular item, finances. And we're all familiar with the word tithe. Amen? All right. We need, in this hour, to have a firm understanding of tithe. Now, I'm not going to share on this particularly, but I feel a responsibility to release this for your consideration. The number 10, which is a tithe, amen, is the number that God has chosen as a testing number to prove that he is God. If you'll remember that Abraham brought a tithe unto Melchizedek, a type of the priest. If you will remember that Daniel fasted and prayed, and then he ate God's provision for 10 days. Isn't that right? And at the end of the 10 days, after being obedient to God's direction in his life, he was fatter and fairer than those that were walking under natural circumstances and man's provision. All right? There's several tithe references that I want to take you to, but I think we'll limit it to one more. In Revelation, it speaks in chapter 2 to one of the churches, and it says, you shall be cast into prison for 10 days, but that their faith is going to be tried. The number 10 is an expression that I have faith in God that he is going to do his will in my life. All right, now we need to apply this for our survival in America at this time. We're entering into a time of great economic chaos. I've got sheets of statistics here, which I won't bore you with. I'll just share one last item. By the way, I might say Linda and I are the most unlikely people to give wisdom on finances that there are. All right? And if I would give you my testimony, and those of you that know us, you would say, the foolishness of God is coming forth. All right? The wisdom of God, I mean, is coming forth through foolishness. All right? But the one thing that we have just been given some insight to is that the bankers cannot see past August. Don't be afraid. It is good. Because we're one step closer to Satan believing the lie that he can rule. And the closer that he believes that lie and it becomes reality, the sooner the kingdom of God is going to rule and reign. So rejoice. God has given us a method to survive. It requires obedience. We have fallen into the trap of religious sacrifice. And we need to break that bondage. And we need to learn to rest in obedience to the Word of God. And quit running to and fro with all the religious ideas of thinking that we can please God. There is only one way that you and I can please God. And that is with faith. Amen? And as I walk in obedience to His Word by faith, I am proving His Word to be true. And in the eyes of the world, I don't want them to see me because they see failure. But if they can see His Word working mightily in my life, the world will bow and they shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, many of them will reject His Lordship in their life, but everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. I urge you to consider your finances in this hour and become obedient, not in bondage to the law, but as an expression of your faith that God, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. All right. God is a mighty God. He will provide for you. You will never go hungry. How many scriptures haven't we confessed that sound so good? And now He is saying, live them. Ministry, expect, and don't fall under the spirit of condemnation. God will never condemn you. He will convict you. Many of you heard me say it before, but conviction means to go to your feet and wash them. That your path will walk straight. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Condemnation comes from man. Condemnation comes from my flesh. And once in a while, Satan slips one in. All right? Let's remember that. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Revelation something. Chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Hallelujah. I need to direct one other word. I don't do this with a spirit of looking back to the past. But I share a very quick story with you because there is something happening in this camp meeting that is just awesome in my sight. Several years ago, the Lord blessed Mother and I with a huge farm. We converted the barn into a place of worship and it was a house for many things, amongst which was a gathering place of the ministries. We would, at different times, have supernatural gatherings. And this is what I mean by it. We would all come together and meet. Sister Barb was Walton then, now it's Coyle. Sister Sutter, Brother Tommy, Brother Bill, and some others. We had no plans of coming together, but we would. And I was functioning as a pastor at that time. That term I don't like, but whatever. And I would feel that I was not to tell the people that we were having a gathering. Doesn't that sound strange? Doesn't sound like you're trying to build a work. But there would be a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord through the ministries, ministering to one another. And these meetings are going to have many, many benefits. But one of the benefits that I'm seeing is that there has been a supernatural gathering again. It's been for a time of healing, a time of strengthening, a time of breaking bondages. Hallelujah. And we need to just rest in that theme as the Lord is allowing it to come forth. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. The chastising love of God is dealing with his people with such a fervor at this time that the ache in our heart is, Lord, I cannot do anything. Take me home. And then, as I utter those words, something swells within me that I know is divine, and it says, there's so much to be done. And I look out on the fields that are white unto harvest, and I am broken. And I look upon the body of Christ, and I say, God, we're so far from what we should be. Don't take us home yet. And I'm wrestling with the two, and interspersed, I'm finding that a great weariness is coming on me that should not be there. Amen. And the Lord warned us through the prophet Daniel that Satan, the enemy, would try to wear us out in this time of greatest warfare. Hallelujah. Ye shall run and not be weary. Ye shall walk and not faint. I have been running with zeal for many years, but a weariness has set in, and he's saying now, maturity would walk in accordance with my voice. And though you feel faint, it is well with your soul that you're faint, for then my strength can flow through and be made perfect. Oh, fret not that you're not conquering the world. Fret not that you're not conquering each day the enemy to your soul. Fret not that you're not conquering the weak flesh each day. But rejoice in the fact that the mercy of the Lord is going to meet you where you're at each day. Amen. And he's going to give you strength to conquer the enemy for today. And tomorrow is a fresh day and a new beginning of conquering the enemy. Hallelujah. For you see, the mercy of the Lord comes at the golden altar and meets us, because Jesus Christ has rent the veil that would hinder us from receiving. And my religious thoughts and ideas and my religious tastes of the glory of God have lied to me and said I have been in the Holy of Holies where the glory of God is, and it cannot be, or I would be consumed by the presence of God and I wouldn't be sitting here or standing here sharing the word with you. Therefore, the Lord is speaking to us, and he is saying, oh, would you come to the mercy seat? Hallelujah. But would you come by way of the golden altar and wait that I might flow with my glory and meet you in that place? Yes. We go on for just a moment. The reed that is spoken up here is something that you would use to measure. The rod stands for kingly authority. The angel, I believe, is one who has been assigned. I have my own personal beliefs who it is, but we can sum it up this way. Has been assigned by God to understand the holiness of God and to take a look at the situation and see if it measures up to the standard of God's holiness. I'll tell you who I believe that is. I believe it's the overcomers. I quite truthfully do. Hallelujah. Now, the measuring place is this. It's in the temple of God. We have been taught something that is not truth, and I don't touch doctrinal things. I speak a truth. We have been taught, many of us, to look into the sky for a big block of gold that measures 12 miles by 12 miles, and someday it's going to come down and split mountains, and many things are going to happen. And we need to take our eyes off the pie-in-the-sky escapism. And we need to look here and see that I am the temple of God. I am the Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Would you say that with me? I am the Jerusalem. I am the temple of God. Hallelujah. 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 I ask you to say these things. I used to make fun of preachers that did that.
Well, God's got his ways.
Amen. And he said to me, when you speak these things so your ears hear it, you carry it with you. So I do it out of deep respect and great hunger to have you carry some of these truths with you for strength. And it says here that the temple of God is being measured by spiritual standards. The next lie that we need to overcome is that numbers and programs and buildings and fancy do's and don'ts and all of these other gimmicks are not what God is measuring his standard of holiness by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fix your eyes upon the standard of God and don't be entrapped by all the frills of man. I speak not against the church with rebellion. I speak against the lie of the enemy that says man must succeed. And our only success can be measured by our humbleness in falling before God and saying, whatever it is, use me, God. Hallelujah. The attitude of our heart must be not well done, thou good and faithful servant, by men saying it. But it must be found at the golden altar where we cry out to God and he visits us and watches us accomplish the word. And then as the accomplishment is done, a touch of his glory comes from the Holy of Holies. He's still facing us as he did Moses with the backside, for we would be consumed by his presence if he met us face to face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The measuring is interesting here because it speaks and starts at the altar. Remember in the Old Testament, the pattern of God when he established the tabernacle to be built, he started with the Holy of Holies and moved outward. He started from purity and moved outward. And that's what God is doing with you and I. He is coming to the place where we have an altar with God. And as much as I love praying at the natural altar, my altar with God is where there are 12 stones within my heart standing for the government of God. And where the waters are rushing, but the stones have been left in the middle of the river of life. And they stand, Shandalabasi, and the water rushes over, but the water cannot taint. The water of life only purifies and makes smooth the stones in my altar. Hear me in the Spirit on this, please. You understand. You understand. I'm thinking in my head of Joshua and building the altar in the midst of the river. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so many other messages in this, but let's just hear it in this way for a moment. He's measuring the temple of God, the altar, and to them that worship therein, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. I share this with caution. You must be born again. You'll never perceive or understand or walk in victory in the kingdom of God. You must have the presence of the living Spirit active in your life, or you'll not survive, but you'll not lose your salvation. Hear me carefully. Our eyes have been affixed on a cliquey few, believing it's the church. And God is knowing the hearts of multitudes and multitudes. Shotaranalabasi. Hear me. The vision. I feel as if I'm ministering a lot to preachers today, but all of us. The vision needs to be enlarged. And instead of focusing upon the church, we need to focus upon those that are subject to trampling under by the world of the Gentiles. And we need to focus upon the world that is lost. Yes. We have been lied to in thinking that we need to clean up the church. I cannot clean up a tootin' thing. I tried to wash a cup of coffee off for Sister Sutter yesterday morning, and I put soap suds in there, and I couldn't get them out. I can't even clean the dish right. I'm happy for that. I know my position. God keeps me there. But I'm telling you that it's high time we quit thinking that we've got to clean one another up with our judgmental words, and we need to let God speak at the golden altar to each one of us and work it out, and we need to exhort one another with words of encouragement, with words of comfort, with standing as Aaron and Hur did at the side of Moses and watch the enemy be defeated. But we need to expand our vision and get out where Jesus went. It's time to have that Feast of Tabernacles in the presence of the street people. It's time to meet the sinners where they're at. It's time to get in them starchy denominations where the Holy Spirit is not. And instead of being afraid of them, it is time to speak the word. Hallelujah. Satala Nabasi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is measuring. The Lord is measuring. Hallelujah. I see this in another way. He is measuring me in my outer court, which is my flesh. And he is allowing the enemy, the world, my mind that refuses to line up with the word, to trample anything that is not of God. It shall be trampled. We don't need to confess, I hope God will deliver me. The word of God says God will do it. My God is not a God that he should lie. People, we have come here expecting deliverance. We need to take our eyes off the personalities and the charisma of the speakers, and we need to seek the authority of the anointing that is in each one and let it minister unto us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. The anointing. And Brother Null, I know, Dr. Null, I know I can say this without puffing you. God will take the puff out. The anointing that was on yesterday afternoon that wrought deliverance in my life and many of you. That's what we're here for. We're here to get set free. The anointing that's on the preaching to inspire us to have a vision of the beauty of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we're here for. The next place the Lord measured was Jerusalem. He said the city. Isn't that right? The holy city. I am holy because of what Jesus did and no other reason. Do you realize that? He is my all sufficiency. He has given me all wisdom and all prudence, the ability to apply that wisdom. He has given me all that is necessary to meet every need that comes up in my life. Hallelujah. By the way, that word need, my God shall supply all your needs, is not my God shall rain pennies from heaven. It is not my God shall move on my brother and make him die so that I can get a $100,000 will. You know, I cannot find one scripture in the Word of God. I just cast this out. It's in a book that we've got coming out. But that would tell me that I have a promise to win the lottery and get rich quick. Amen. I wish that Mom and I had a dollar. Wish is wrong. It's wrong terminology. For every Christian that has come up to us in the last years and said, God told me I was going to win the Reader's Digest and I'm going to pay the tithe to you. And then they confess so many things that have happened. It's a lie. We need to realize that we are called to work. We are not called to be receivers of the welfare mantle. The body of Christ is so overwhelmed with the free gift of salvation that Satan creeps in and says everything else is free. And God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm just about done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the holy city shall be tread underfoot for 42 months. I'd love to teach it. We don't have time, but Tommy will take care of that. Hallelujah. But I want you to hear something. Hear it two ways. Everything that I believe is right is being trampled under. My ministry. Because it's not mine. But when I carry something for God, I have a spirit of possessiveness about me. You understand? Instead of realizing that I'm a servant just placed in charge, it becomes mine. One of the reasons America is undergoing great persecution in the area of gatherings of believers is this. The church has meant well in taking a stand, a public stand, against issues. They have become so filled with zeal that they have resorted to natural warfare. And the enemy is rejoicing because the church is destroying itself. He thinks they aren't. And God is saying, I'm allowing the enemy to put underground the church, the true church, that they might come forth as mighty prayer warriors. And that's what's going to defeat the enemy. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because it's now, in the natural, I need to apply that. Be sure your sin will find you out. Not the most pleasant scripture to memorize. I prefer not to remember the address of it. However, Reuben and Gad, I believe, are the two fellers that got that word. One of them was a hearer of the word of God. The other one was a troop that was going to lose a lot of battles, but he was going to overcome. That's me. That's you. We hear the word of God. We enter into a great many battles. But then the Lord went on to say to those two fellas, if you don't obey my word, your sin's going to be exposed. Not that you'll be destroyed, people, but that you'll be set free. I stand here to tell you, if I testified, you would probably think I was very ungodly. But God is exposing sin in my life in front of brothers and sisters. The brothers and sisters have a choice. Pray with me and stand free as I get free, or to trample me underfoot. You and I have that choice. But what I want us to hear, I believe the Lord wants us to hear from that, is this. It's time that anything that is not of God is trampled underfoot for a period, spiritually, of 42 months. 40, the number of walking in the wilderness. 2, the number of unity, the Word and the Spirit coming forth. And that's what I desire. My body, my person, my soul is walking in the wilderness. Revelation tells us that we are being forced to flee into the wilderness. There is a company of people, though, that are being forced to flee ahead of time. And they're called the man-child, the mature son of God. And their mission is to be nothing but caught up to God and then minister to the rest of the church that is now laughing. And the wilderness experience to them is scoffed at. However, the day will come as we are pushed under with the pressing of God that there shall be a great victory. And, oh Lord, there's so much. I need to be still. Let me just say this. In the end, there is none of us that are going to be greater or lesser than the other. And that is the love of Christ that is being birthed within you and I. Hear me. My motives for my every action are being examined. And if they don't measure up to the standard of do this, that one might be in perfect unity with Christ, it's being tried by fire until it's done away with. My every thought, Satalanabasi, Peggy, for you have a heart in the eyes of God that is precious and pure. And the cry of your heart has been, Lord, before anything I shall be obedient. And you have walked in obedience, and the Lord doth rejoice. And yea, the Lord would say, I have blessed you but a small portion within comparison to the blessings that shall reign upon you on this earth. For yea, thou shalt be as one that shall even be an overseer of many. And yea, the Lord shall visit you with mighty favor, and shall cause many to look with you and see you as one that is favored of God. For yea, there have been times when you've wrestled with, oh God, oh God, you know I'm here. This is Peggy down here. And God would say, oh yes, but I didn't hear Peggy. I heard the new nature speak unto me, and thou art mine. And the purity of your heart causes the angels to rejoice in my presence. Hallelujah. And many shall know of me because of that. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I close with this thought then. Be willing to be measured with the scepter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We confess we're living in the kingdom of God. Well, let's say we've got a foot in, only because of the blood of Jesus. Israel entered the promised land and fought for many years. The tribe of Joseph's children, they weren't happy with their allotment, and they went to Joshua, and they said, we need more land, we're a mighty people. Expecting Joshua to say, all right, move over there and take that land then. And instead, Joshua said, well, if you want it, fight for it. Conquer the enemy. We have confessed with our mouth that we are kingdom walkers, that we are overcomers, first fruit company, a lamb company people, a sealed people, a this and a that, and I don't mock it. But the words of our mouth are being tried that they might become truth. For we have spoken those words under the anointing, and they have to happen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Your protection is found at the golden altar. In Joshua 20, God help me, please, was a city of refuge built. And I am told that there was an altar with horns on it. And when one would commit murder by accident, not willfully, they could run to the city of refuge and grab hold of the horns of the altar until God would judge through the judges. Now the Holy Spirit is set free. Church, believers, and those of us living in America especially, it's time to run to the horns of the golden altar and roar like a lion with the sweet incense. That's one of the things it stands for. One of the things of the sweet incense is to take the shell off and expose what's underneath at the mercy seat, at the golden altar. Another thing is that the fruit of one of the incenses produces a white flower, which stands for the anointing, as I understand it, the anointing of God in the prophetic word and in the understanding of the word. And the frankincense was the last one of the four, and it stands for the purity of God going forth. And our prayers at the golden altar will ascend before God with a purity that cannot be touched by Satan, for it comes forth in an unknown tongue. Hear me carefully. It comes forth in a language that is not confused, but perfect. Confusion separated the masses at the Tower of Babel. Unity restores the kingdom of God at the mercy seat or golden altar. The Lord is going to come from the Holy of Holies with His mercy. That means He's meeting us right where we're at. Behind us are the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. We've touched on them, the Word of God and our knowledge in the tabernacle I'm thinking now. And I'm trying to carry them And I'm saying, God, why are there not miracles and healings as I think they should be? And he's saying, put them in your back pocket and carry them to the golden altar. Let them be on your backside and drop before me and grab hold of the horns. Four horns stand for completeness, north, south, east, and west. Fullness, on and on it goes. And hang on to those horns and speak in oneness to me. And I will come with my glory from the Holy of Holies and surround you with my presence. For the veil has been rent. And look for that presence in your soul before you can expect it with your natural eyes. Let the glory of the Lord fill your soul. I just share this one warning. If we look for it with the natural, Satan will manifest a fake glory cloud. And it'll be touched with sin. But when it comes from within, and it just happens, as we measure or are being measured, we can trust the glory cloud to be pure. And the Lord says in Isaiah chapter maybe 6, my glory shall be a defense. There's a chapter 2. Chapter 2 or 4, whatever. My glory shall be a defense for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Play the piano. Thou art worthy. John Coyle, the Lord will protect your soul from bruises, for it is a late hour. The Lord has birthed within you a gentle spirit. The gentle spirit has been preserved unto this hour. The Lord would say, be patient, my son, be patient. For the time is swiftly approaching that I have chosen you to visit the enemy. The enemy believes a lie that they are strong at this time. And many lives would be wasted if I were to send you at this time. There are many in the camp of the enemy that are beginning to doubt and have a soft heart. I have set you aside not because of any disobedience on your part, but because of my timing. And those that are wavering shall renounce the enemy and receive the victory. And at that time, those that have renounced the enemy shall visit the enemy and cause confusion in the camp of the enemy, and it shall be destroyed. For as Jehoshaphat was sent, and as the servant of Elijah was sent, so do I send you. And you shall see the visitation of my army and know that I am God. Hallelujah. And Brother Tommy, the Lord is going to open doors overseas for you. And the Lord will meet the desire of your heart, and Wanda shall be with you. And the Lord shall cause hens to flutter over the flock. And the enemy shall not steal, crack, or bruise one egg. For that which you carry within you must be brought forth to many of my children in foreign lands. It shall be done. And Sister Irma, before you confessed weakness, I carried a word for you that the health that comes from the divine God is yours, and that even though the enemy would try to disturb and disrupt, it shall not be. For the hour of freshness, of understanding and anointing is coming forth. And as I speak this, I see a vial filled with holy anointing. being poured upon you as it was over the priest. And it's dripping. And you shall know that it is God. Your health is preserved. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.